Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love. And today, welcome Dr. Sandeep Graywal, co-founder of the ACE Medical Law Center in Rock Hill, South Carolina, and author of Fat Me Not, Weight Loss Diet of the Future, which breaks down many of the common myths of dieting, including the strategy of only eating salads and grilled chicken, and we know how boring that can be, and to take a look at the whole picture and to know how also to incorporate exercise into your schedule as well. Hello, Dr. Graywal.
Hello, how are you?
Very good, and thank you for joining us on Healing From Within. Sandeep, as listeners of Healing From Within are well aware, our life, when understood in its entirety through a search of our subconscious or intuitive essence in alignment with the challenges of our physical life, often offer us a way to value all parts of ourselves and others, reconciling the duality of human nature, our spiritual energetic essence, and our physical life, offering a greater self-awareness for mastering our emotions and for creating a healthy, purposeful life experience. That is the knowledge of who we are, and that is the way to begin to change or improve any aspect of our life. In today's episode of Healing From Within, we may explore what science actually says about holiday weight gain, tips for recovery, an action plan for a healthy year-round weight plan. We may discuss how the body regulates your weight and how you can use it to your advantage. The goal is always to provide a way to merge the mind, spirit, and body for success, health, and happiness. Sandeep, I always love to ask my guests to take a trip back to their childhood and memories or experiences or people, values, or places that led them to the work and lifestyle they enjoy now, because I believe our life plan or destiny is already present in the child who begins to reflect their greater views as they mature. So think back how it all began.
Yeah, it's funny because, I had a great respect for my father, and one day he just asked me, what do you want to be as a adult, and I was only 5 years old, and I said, I'll become a doctor. I had been to a doctor office that day, and I kept my word.
Well, there was something that happened perhaps that day that made you know that you could serve yourself and the world in a better way. Did you like the doctor you went to as a
yes.
boy?
Yes, yes. You might be right, because that may have me seeing the doctor helping other people might have inspired me to do the same.
Right. It lit a light that was already within you, and it just made it burn a little brighter. Yeah, we are very often, as children, very open and aware of our own abilities and possibilities. And if nobody dampens that spirit with too much negativity, we can go on, all of us, to do great things. So let's go on to... You actually went to medical school
in India.
And I read that there were only 3 medical schools that produce 500 doctors annually. And you discovered something with your interaction with your patients at that time, early on in your career. And you listened to something within yourself and what they were needing, perhaps. Do you remember back to that?
Well, we know that because in India, there's a lot of need for doctors and tremendous respect for doctors, too. So, and one of the most difficult professions to get into because of competitiveness, and that kind of inspired me, too.
Well, I also read, and I was curious about this, you wrote that during your internship, you noticed that patients who took multiple medications also carried unhealthy weight. The greater the weight, the greater the number of medications. So is that because a side effect of the medications or the unhealthy lifestyle of the patient at the time? What do you think that is?
Well, like I said, the story of me walking through the corridors of the hospital and looking at patients. And at that time, we had to actually write all the prescriptions for the patient. So we have to individually write prescription. Now, if somebody is on more medications, we have to write more. And that's when I noticed that people who are obese were always on more than 7 to 10 medications. And then if you look at the quality of life with that, it's not that great, because once you have to take that many medications, side effects do come along. And also just the pain of taking medications every single day, three times a day, it becomes hard for the patient. So my thinking at that time was, what can we do, one thing, to reduce this number of medications each patient takes? And, you know, weight loss was the simple answer, because when we lose weight, we reduce our chances of getting diabetes by almost 50%. When we lose weight, the number of medications decrease and number of diseases that we carry, that decreases, and that in turn improves quality of life.
Absolutely. You know, I'm a Reiki energy practitioner, and I always advise my clients to try many different approaches before taking medication or surgery, because surgeries alter our body and also cause different conditions. And I see that as a last resort, not as the first line of attack. So yes, the body can self-heal itself, and absolutely getting rid of medications that may be causing an overload to the system and too many side effects is the right way to go. And it takes some effort on the doctor's part and the patient's part to realize what's going on and what lifestyle changes they can make. I mean, we can only do the best we can on any given day, you know. So we have to take that into consideration when we're making these changes. But I agree with you wholeheartedly. The approach is to help the individual help themselves. So let's go on. Tell us how bacteria in our gut can hack into our nervous system and change what we crave and what we eat and what we need to do to balance this situation.
This is a very interesting concept, which is actually very new too, because scientists have found out that bacteria, which are trillions and trillions of them in our stomach and intestines, are actually actively engaging in hacking our brain and making us crave different kind of food. So if we have bad bacteria in our stomach and intestines, that will make us crave bad food. If you have good bacteria in our stomach and intestine, that would make us crave good food. Why is that? Because these bacteria need that kind of food to help them survive. So they are able to manipulate the little neurotransmitters that are released through the stomach towards our brain, and they're able to manipulate these signals and make us crave the food these bacteria want to eat. And that is how these bacteria are able to hack our brain. And in fact, many times when we think that we are craving junk food all the time or a particular kind of food and it's our lack of willpower, it's not. It's these bacteria that may be making us crave that food so they can get it.
So is it good for us to take a probiotic daily so that we can increase the good bacteria and keep the bad bacteria at a minimal? Is that a good idea?
Well, probiotics is a good idea, and yogurt is also a great probiotic, which is one of the natural probiotics. So everybody should be eating yogurt at least once a day. But it's a little bit too early to say probiotics really help with weight loss, because weight loss, we are still trying to figure out which bacteria are the good ones and which bacteria are the bad ones.
Well, that's great that they're working on that. I know in the future it will be very helpful. Now, you wrote it's important for the gut to do its work in digesting foods and real food. Not a protein bar or drink is recommended. Now, a lot of people will grab those easy food substitutes, but you say real food, and we must have all food groups being consumed. So tell us what the food groups are and about your Slim Plate System. You have a website, slimplatesystem.com. So tell us something a little bit about that.
So Slim Plate System is our weight loss program that we offer, and it is based on the scientific research. It is based on not having to count calories, not having to, you know, learn nutritional counts and things like that, but it is based on helping us eat the right way without even knowing it. So the program takes the user through four phases of weight loss, and it comes with a fine bone china set as well as 21 videos in which we teach them the latest tips and myths of weight loss to help them understand it. And by the end of the first month itself, they see good results, and they are also able to eat right. Why is that? That comes to your second question about the food groups. Because there are three food groups, proteins, carbohydrates, and fiber, which is your vegetables. So we have to be able to eat all three of them, not a low-carb diet, because low-carb diet turns into a high-fat diet because of substitution, or not a low-fat diet because it turns into a high-carb diet by substitution. So all the food groups are very important. If we go on a diet which takes away one of these food groups, we are going to crave. And when we crave food, we won't be able to stick to a diet, and then we destroy the diet and we start eating more and more and more. And also, sometimes we may want to substitute proteins with a protein bar or shake. That's not right also. Because whenever we eat real food, natural food, in its natural form, we are using all the muscles of the body to digest it. For example, if we eat a piece of steak, we are going to chew it, it's going to go into our stomach, it's going to churn into a mush. Once it churns into a mush, it goes to the intestine where the enzymes come in, they break it down into peptides and simple amino acids, and then it gets absorbed. And almost one-third of the calories in that steak is used up in the process of digestion. So we are already getting one-third or 33% discount on calories when we eat real food.
You know, Sandeep, that's really amazing. It's like, to me, I'm listening to you, and I'm seeing it as a form of exercise, an exercise for the inner body. And I see so many people using these substitutes and not eating real food. And I tried, even before I read your book, to explain to them they needed moderation and balance and needed all the food groups. And going on a low-carb diet wasn't going to do it, or an all-protein diet wasn't going to do it. But now, with your book and the information you have, I have more information to share with other people, which I thank you very much for. Now, let's go on to, I love this part of the book. You gave out some myths that many people believe. I have a list of them here, but if you would just say a few of your own, and then I'll fill in with whatever is missing, because I thought it was fantastic.
Sure. So the reason we brought out the myths were because of these myths, we make our life difficult. We make the process of weight loss difficult. And that's the reason we had brought this myths up. Because many times we think the body should work logically, because we have been taught calorie in and calorie out, and that's what's going to decide our weight. But that does not happen. So for example, sometimes we think maybe if I eat one time a day, I'm going to lose weight. But that's not true, because research shows that when we subject our body to prolonged fasting state, that causes a drop in metabolic rate, which can be as low as metabolic rate can be cut by half. And when that happens, even if we eat one time a day and 1,000 calories, that would hit us like 2,000 calories, because the metabolic rate is now cut by half. So that's the reason, one of the biggest myths is people who eat only once a day and people who skip meals will not lose weight, because their metabolic rate is going down too as the calories coming in are going down.
Absolutely. One day my doctor said to me, she's a holistic practitioner, and I said, you know, I really don't eat that much and I don't lose any weight. She said to me, eat more.
True.
Just what you just said.
True, because in Slim Plate System we make sure people eat five times a day, because eating five times a day keeps your metabolic engine running. Every 4 hours of eating, but of course in the right portions, every 4 hours of eating can keep on boosting your metabolism and keep it running.
Yes, that's what I do now, and I hope our listeners are going to start to do that too. Now, a couple of the other myths are diet sugar And diet drinks are good for losing weight. Fast food is bad, but fine dining is okay. And eating salad and grilled chicken is the way for weight loss. Exercise is everything to weight loss. Now, that's not true. Tell us something about that.
Right. So exercise is not everything to weight loss. Diet drinks are also known to cause weight gain, so we should be always be very careful. Diet drinks, by research, are known to cause weight gain because they shift our craving from sugary drinks to solid junk food. That's why people who drink diet drinks would always crave for junk food. But exercise is very important for cardiovascular reasons. But many a times we think exercise is good for weight loss, but that is not correct because exercise contributes only 10% to weight loss. 90% of our weight loss comes with diet changes. And that's why in my practice, we have helped patients with disabilities lose weight because they can't exercise, but all we need to do is change their diet. And people who are very, very obese, weights of 400 pounds, 350 pounds, they are not able to exercise. But they lose weight because of the changes in the diet and not because of exercise.
Well, some of the other myths are eating carbs will make you fat, switch from caffeinated to decaffeinated to lose weight, eating sweets, desserts, and chocolate are no-nos for weight loss, and obesity is healthy and there's nothing wrong with it. Now, obesity, we know, is a national problem. Not, I don't think, maybe not a worldwide problem, but a national problem.
But it's getting there.
Well, if fast food gets there,
I
then
know.
that will follow. But obesity is healthy. Tell us why obesity is not healthy and the problems this nation is having with the health with healthcare as a result.
It's very important for us to understand that being obese is not healthy. And many times, I think a couple of years ago, I saw it on the television. There was a big debate about obesity and whether obesity is healthy or not. There was this lady on one of the networks who said that her blood work is perfectly normal, and she's obese, so there shouldn't be anything wrong with it. But as a physician, we know that if somebody's obese, they may have a perfect blood work, but that does not mean they are healthy because whenever someone is obese, their risk of diabetes doubles, their risk of high blood pressure doubles, their risk of getting a heart attack increases by 60%. We also know that chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, painful joints everywhere, and even cancers are associated with obesity. So if we say obesity is healthy, what we are doing is we are ignoring the problem and setting ourselves up for more problems in the future. So we have to realize that obesity is not healthy. Obesity has been declared as a disease state lately by CDC, although I think they have done it very late, but at least they have done it. So obesity has to be considered as a problem and it has to be treated.
All right, and sometimes obesity can be connected also to emotional problems or to a lifestyle or maybe situations that the person is not able to control. So it's a mind, body, and spirit endeavor to find what makes you most happy and productive in this life and to get help and have a support team around you. Yes, people who enjoy exercise may support you in getting out there and walking, and that may help you feel happier, and then you won't maybe be as hungry, and you'll know that you want to regulate the food you're eating. It's like a package, all working together. And that's what we want to encourage people to do. Get the support they need from the friends and medical people in their lives, and then do the best they can. You know, we can't force people to do the right thing on any level, and we can't force people to change, but we can help them know they will be happier when they feel healthier and have more energy and are eating wisely, 4 or 5 times a day, as you say, a mixture of foods, not all these diet products that have all these artificial sugars in them. And I think life will become much better for many people. Now let's go on to why, when many people diet and lose weight, do they gain it back with even more pounds?
Yes, that is the yo-yo dieting, which is very prevalent, and that is dangerous too. Now, yo-yo dieting is when we lose a good amount of weight, but we gain it all back, and then we feel frustrated, and it becomes harder for us to try again. Yo-yo dieting is dangerous because it mentally discourages people to try again. It is dangerous because it disrupts our weight loss regulation mechanism in the body, due to which losing weight becomes even more difficult. And why does it happen? It happens because we make three big mistakes when we choose a diet. Number one, we choose a difficult diet. We don't choose an easy diet to do. And any difficult diet that we choose to do, we cannot stick to it. And if we cannot stick to a diet, that's temporary. It's not permanent. Number two, we choose a diet which does not allow real food. So, for example, if somebody is Italian, they like Italian food. But if they go on a paleo diet, and they would not enjoy that kind of diet. And when they don't enjoy it, they can't stick to it. So we have to make sure that the diet plan that we have is very closely related to the current foods that we are eating. And number three, we choose a diet which doesn't do anything to change our eating behavior. For example, the famous no-carb diet. It is very effective in losing weight in the beginning because if somebody is not eating carbs at all, they would lose big amount of weight. But not having carbs in the body means we are going underwater. We have to come out and breathe again, and that's what happens. So after 2-3 months of no or low carb, people just go on a binge of carb eating and gain all the weight back. So that kind of diet has done nothing to improve our eating behavior. So these are the reasons why we keep on gaining weight after trying to lose weight.
And you know what? People who go on a no-carb diet, they trick the body for a little while, but the body is very clever. And after a while, it knows it's a substitute, and it begins to request what it needs. You know, I remember an experiment when I was a school teacher years ago. I remember reading about this. If you let children take whatever they want on a table where you put all kinds of foods and sweets and cakes and ice cream and vegetables and protein and carbs, at the beginning, they will go for the carbs or the treats. And after a while, their body will require them to do something else, and they'll start to pick out what they need. So we all like that. And if we allow ourselves to think in terms of having a good choice, a good range, we'll do the right thing, I believe. I believe we'll start to do it. But I also read recently, maybe you can help me with this, that it is in the combination of foods that we can affect the balance necessary to maintain a healthy weight and a digestive health. For example, you might eat a protein, which is a fish or meat or poultry, with either a vegetable or carb, but not both. So if you have your salad and protein first, and later down the road have your fruit or dessert, is this a good plan to follow?
Yes, we have to. I think you brought up a great point, because combination of the food can be very powerful in helping us maintain our weight. For example, and one of the examples we gave in the book was, you know, ice cream. People love to eat ice cream, but ice cream is high calorie, high sugar. So how do you eat ice cream? So what you could do is you could have one scoop of ice cream, and then you mix some berries and strawberries and things like that in it. So what it does is now you got a carb group, and then you have added fiber to it. And what the fiber does is it, one, makes our body work for digestion, thus consuming calories. Number two, it slows down the absorption of the sugar from the ice cream into our blood system. That by itself reduces the insulin spike and improves our weight gain. So I think combining different kind of foods is very, very important, and that's why we shouldn't always go for one food but try to mix them all together.
Good. Okay. That sounds very reasonable. Now, I just read, as I was reading your book and working on preparing for this show, I read an article in Newsday, which is a local paper, about the mistakes many adults and parents make in regard to how they discuss food with their children. How do you think we can encourage our children to develop healthy eating habits without developing feelings that they are not trusted, loved, or appreciated because they don't like or finish the food their parents are supplying? I mean, I see it all the time. I have a lot of children around me, and I listen to what the parents say, and some of it is hard to correct. But what do you think?
Yeah, I think you're right. One thing we have to realize is that the sooner in the childhood we improve our kids' eating habits, the better it is for them, because when they grow up, they would like to eat the same food, and they would cherish the same food that they were eating as a child. So definitely whenever we are trying to help them eat healthy food like vegetables and stuff, make sure it is associated with a happy feeling. So, for example, you know, maybe you take them out for a playground after that, or, you know, you go on a picnic and that's where you introduce them to the veggies in their meal. So those kind of things are very important to associate them with happy feelings. And the other thing I do is, you know, tell the kids that they got to try everything. You know, they got to try everything three times before they can say no to it. So they are able to say no to a food, but they got to try it the third time before they do that. And that by themselves, but usually by the third time, they are already okay to eat that food because they start trusting the food.
Right. And parents should be, and teachers, should be careful what they say to a child. I'll give you a little example. Like a parent says, eat five more bites, and the child feels the parent doesn't trust them to decide when they're full. So a better alternative in that situation might be to say, be sure to get enough to eat now because it may be a long time till the next meal. You're allowing the child to make a choice. We need to respect our children for their own inner wisdom and not order or force them to do anything, and especially in regard to food, which could develop eating disorders later down the road. Now, a couple of positive phrases to use with children, which were in this article, and I'd like to share, is what you just said. The food we eat gives us energy and makes us happy. A builder uses strong, sturdy, reliable materials to make a house. What materials do you want to be built of? It is okay to have unhealthy food sometimes, as long as most of the time we are filling ourselves with healthy choices. Or we might say to our children, let's read the food label together so we know what to choose. Okay? And I don't want to eat anything whose ingredients sound like chemicals, do I? I don't think so. And we should always say to them, you're going to feel very proud when you make healthy choices. And this is important. On many shows that I have had, we want the children to be addressed and loved and honored to avoid many problems down the road. And thank you for talking about that with me. It's important to us and to our children.
Sure.
I want to thank you, Dr. Sandeep Graywall, author of Fat Me Not, A Weight Loss Diet of the Future, for a very clear and practical look at the problems surrounding a healthy, balanced eating regime, and for offering so many solutions to health problems before they lead to drastic and compromising ways, such as medication or surgery, to correct what can often be corrected by lifestyle changes. For more information and to purchase this book, go to fatmenotbook.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, we have discussed a very practical and easy way to begin to understand our nutritional needs and how to provide a better way to select our foods for health and to achieve a weight that is comfortable. We have looked at many health challenges to begin to understand it is necessary to often make changes to improve our health. We also have brought your attention to many myths that are held by the general public and even health professionals. This book focuses on much more than diet and weight concerns. It offers a medical approach to realize that the mind, body, and spirit are all parts of a unified body of knowledge and thoughts which influence our daily actions and reactions, ultimately creating the way we view ourselves and the world. The hope of Dr. Grewal and myself is that we all may learn to be more observant, make clearer choices that create a positive and healthy, loving life for ourselves and our children, and to develop and protect the wholeness of our being so we may better appreciate the gift of life and enjoy the simple pleasures of our daily experiences. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to hear leaders, visionaries, and wayseers offer through their own experiences and discoveries the means for improving life on all levels, personally and collectively. Shows may also be heard on WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVision7Radio.com. Thank you.